Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Dais, a podcast about the stories taking place in and around El Paso County, Colorado. I'm your host, Scott Anderson, and today I am joined by Karen Falahi, the founder of the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance of Colorado Springs. And this is also more commonly referred to as DBSA Colorado Springs. How are you doing today, Karen?
I'm doing fine, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So before we get started, I want to quickly add that if listeners are interested in more stories about people doing good in and around El Paso County, or hearing from county leadership about local government priorities and how they operate, you can find additional episodes of this podcast on your podcast platform of choice. But to get started today, Karen, I was wondering if you could share some background about yourself and how you came to be associated with DBSA.
I'd like to start off by saying bipolar disorder runs on my side of the family. I was aware of this early on in my teen years when my older brother was diagnosed with what was then called manic depression, now more commonly called bipolar disorder. He had received a four-year scholarship to SMU, and his first break, his first episode occurred during his first year. Later on, I pretty much let it pass me by in the way of remembering what occurred in my family, went on to graduate high school, and went on to college where I met my husband, Sia. And of course, he courted me and we were married the following year. And I worked to put him through Cal Poly up in San Luis Obispo, where he got a degree in industrial engineering. Following graduation from Cal Poly, we moved to LA, where he worked for Lockheed Aircraft, and subsequently was invited to go establish an aircraft industry in Tehran in the early 70s. While we were in Tehran, and during the second year, we began to see problems with the regime. And I mentioned to my husband that we need to move back to Colorado. By that time, we had left Colorado. And it was agreed that I would do so, taking the kids first, and he would follow. I returned to Colorado with our two boys, Eric and Sean, and we moved to Colorado Springs, where we settled right here in town. And at some point, we were thinking it might be interesting to move to out in the country to give our sons an opportunity to experience that life. And we were able to purchase some acreage up in Douglas County. We built our home, and the boys and my husband and I lived out there for quite a few years. It was during that time when my oldest son, Eric, was in high school. Actually, both of them took a bus all the way to Castle Rock to attend Douglas County High School. And it was during that time, during his senior year, that I noticed signs in Eric. He was becoming more withdrawn. There was depression. I was very concerned, and I, of course, expressed this with his dad. I told my husband that he needed to pay attention, that this was not acting out. I was really concerned about what was happening to our oldest son. He was a fine young man. He was doing well in school, but things began to take a turn for, for the worse, but they were changing to where I was noticing some marked changes. Mm-hmm. His brother was concerned at the same time. And it wasn't until his senior year that it was agreed, let's take him to a psychiatrist, to a therapist, to evaluate, see what was going on. Because I was well aware by that time that there was depression in the family. I myself had had some episodes early on, but I kind of brushed them aside, and they passed. It wasn't anything that I felt necessary to follow up on. But with our son Eric, yes, I was concerned. It began to come home to me that there was something serious going on. This was, of course, after his senior year at high school. And both boys had applied to college to attend university. And following his diagnosis, they both were accepted up at UCCS, and Eric did attend. Sean did too. He was actually already in school. While he was attending UCCS, he was recommended for a Rhodes Scholarship. And I can remember the morning that he shared the letter with me, and as a mother, of course, I was very excited. However, he said, "Mom, should I go?" I said, "Of course, go." He went, and he came back, but it didn't do anything for him as far as lift him out of the depression that he had. But during that time that he was at UCCS, he had an episode, and he had to withdraw for a while. Subsequently, he decided that he would go to New Orleans all of a sudden. It was like out of the blue, because a friend of his was attending college down there. So he took off, and he came back, and things seemed to settle down a bit. He was on medication, and he was doing fairly well. Eric then moved in with his brother into an apartment, and while his brother was attending UCCS, he also had re-entered and was doing pretty well. But at some point, he began to have periods of depression. And there was an evening where we received a call. Of course, his dad and I were still living in Douglas County at the time. We received a call from his brother, Sean, saying, "You need to come down here. Eric wants to go to the hospital." So we drove into town and, of course, took him to the hospital, where he stayed for a few days. It wasn't that he was suicidal, but his depression was so severe that he feared what he might do to himself, and he did not want to die at that point, for sure. He was released, and we decided that we would find a small place for him to live in Colorado Springs, close to the hospital, which we did. And it was a very sweet little house, very close to the library, close to downtown, close to where he was able to go in to see his doctor, check his meds, etc. Mm-hmm. It was at this point that we knew that, you know, subsequently things were not really getting any better, but they were status quo. However, there was one weekend finally that arrived where he came out to the house in Douglas County where we were living and had been locked out of his little house. And we had an extra key. He went back in, left, drove back in. And I was extremely worried about him. I told his dad that the evening that he came out, he seemed very agitated. He did, of course, get the key that he needed to get back into his house. And I was so worried about how his condition was. I wanted to drive in right away, but his father told me, "You know, he's pretty private. Let's hold off. He's probably going to be okay." We decided to go ahead and drive in Monday morning to check on him. I was so anxious and apprehensive because he'd had a difficult week. We drove in. His car was in the driveway. The door was halfway open, the car door, that is. The door to his house, his little house, was open. And his dad went in and found him on the floor of his bedroom. I came in, and I immediately looked to see how he was. I could see that there was dried blood coming from his nose and from his mouth. But he was lying in such a position that I'd seen before. And whatever it was, the look on his face told me that he just went with it. It wasn't any sign of pain or any kind of trauma to my knowledge. There wasn't anything that could indicate that he had done anything to himself. Of course, the report that came back from the coroner was undetermined. There was nothing in his system that would have caused him to have taken anything that would have indicated suicide. And later talking to his doctors and describing the scene, how we found him, it was determined that probably he'd had a aneurysm, something to that effect, because a month prior to his death, he'd had a dental appointment where he had his wisdom teeth removed, and I learned later that he had seizures, which kind of shocked me. And I had decided that on his 25th birthday, which was 3 months after he died, I would hold a public meeting here in Colorado Springs and invite his psychiatrist and therapist to come speak on manic depressive illness, bipolar disorder. I put notices in the paper, and we held the meeting at Otis Park Community Center, which is no longer available for use. I wish it still was, but it isn't. About 50 people showed up and came up to me afterwards and said, "We need more meetings like this. When are you going to hold another one?" So, of course, the light went on, and I got in touch with DBSA to find out how I could start a support group. So I didn't waste any time. I was able to get a little information, and in May of 94, we held our first support group meeting. I had a little piece of paper. I still have it. It says, number one, introduce yourself. Number two, tell us why you were here. And three very brave people, strangers, came through that door. And we were able to start a meeting that progressed from one meeting twice a month to now 11 free self-help support groups that meet every single month, every single week, actually.
First of all, thank you for sharing that story. No matter how many times you tell it, it must be a difficult story to tell. So I really appreciate you sharing that today and letting people know why this organization exists. I find it really interesting that you immediately had the desire to do this. I think that speaks to your great character. So I think that's really wonderful. You mentioned that there are 11 support groups now that meet every week. Can you talk about what some of those support groups focus on and how they operate?
Yes, I'm happy to do that. We have 11, as you mentioned. Actually, we just added the 11th, which is our vet support group. And I'd like to go through the list just sure. so that people know what we have. Mm-hmm. And they are in different locations in the city.
Okay.
We have a young adults and teens group for ages 15 through 25 with mood disorders. They meet at Sanctuary Church on West Colorado. And for teens who are under the age of 18, we do have a release of liability. Mm-hmm. They meet Tuesdays at 7 o'clock, as does a family and friends group. Same location, Tuesdays, 7 o'clock. Of course, in a different room. Family members often just do not understand what's going on. They don't know how to be there in a way that's helpful and also to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. These are on the west side of town. We have a Be Heard wellness group. That's H-E-R-D for ages 15 through 105 with mood disorders. And they meet at the NPEC. That's on Lower Gold Camp Road, first Wednesdays from 4:30 to 6 p.m. You'd need to call DBSA at 719-477-1515 for more information and requirements. Of course, this is with equestrians, with horses. There's something very calming for people with various types of mental illness to be able to associate and be with animals. And horses, for some reason, have a calming effect that a lot of other animals don't seem to have, although they're very, very helpful. We know that service dogs, mm-hmm. even having some sort of pet, mm-hmm. can be very helpful in feeling more connected and not alone. Centrally, we have, as I mentioned, our new vets group started up. This is open to all active duty, retired, former military with mood disorders, confidential. All of our support groups are confidential, and of course they're free. You don't have to register, sign up, pay a dime. No records are kept at the vets group. It's held at Hillside Community Center on South Institute, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. We have a dual diagnosis group that's open to anyone who lives with a mood disorder and addiction. It can be alcohol, other drugs, shopping, food, gambling, etc. And it meets at the Sunrise Counseling and Wellness, located on South Tejon. And it meets on Mondays at 6 p.m. We have a women's group for, of course, women with mood disorders. It meets at First Lutheran Church on North Cascade, Tuesdays at 11:30. We also have a seniors group who meets there as well. That's at Wednesdays, 12:30 p.m. We have a group for seniors, for older adults with depression or bipolar disorder, and that's held at First Lutheran Church, also on Cascade, North Cascade. And that's Wednesdays at 12:30 p.m. Southeast, we have an adults group, meets at the Baha'i Center on Rainier Drive, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And Northeast, we have a group for adults that meets at Sunrise United Methodist Church on Briargate, Thursdays at 7 p.m. We have two virtual support groups. One is for adults, and that's Fridays at 1 o'clock. And then we have an LGBTQA plus group, Sundays at 4 p.m. Now, in order to join these two groups, either one or both, you would need to call DBSA. And, of course, the number is 719-477-1515. I want to mention that our groups, of course, are confidential. They are free. You don't have to register, sign up, or pay a dime. They are not therapy groups. They are not 12-step programs. They are not facilitated by mental health professionals, but are facilitated by folks just like us who go through a specialized training, and their responsibility is to keep the group safe, comfortable for people to share their personal stories and learn coping skills from one another. If you're interested in attending any of these support groups, please contact us. And you can find us, of course, on the web at dbsacoloradosprings.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and of YouTube.
Awesome. It's really great to hear about all of these different options that are available for people. I think for a number of folks, finding the right kind of help can be really tricky. And so knowing that there are so many different options out there is really nice. One thing I did want to get into is we are recording this on March 5th. Coming up very soon is Brain Awareness Week, which is March 11th through the 17th. Can you talk about what DBSA is doing for that week and why it's so important to the organization?
Yes, we've been outreach partners with the Dana Alliance for Brain Initiatives, Brain Awareness Week. And the primary objective of Brain Awareness Week is to raise awareness to the importance of brain research. We have been doing this for some time, and for those of you who are not familiar with Dana, they are an international organization comprised of Nobel laureates, neuroscientists, who again, as I mentioned, want to raise awareness and the importance of brain research. All kinds of activities happen during this time. whether they're in K through 12 schools, universities, learning centers, hospitals. But you'll have organizations from all over the world actually participating in this, and we've been doing this for some time. We really stress the importance of knowledge as being a necessity. So during this event, our events this year, we have actually three of them going on. We have an exhibit table on March 13th from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. at Hillside Community Center. For those of you who don't know where that is, it's 925 South Institute. We also have a Brain Awareness Week exercise and nutrition presentation that'll be held Wednesday on the 13th from 11:30 to 1 p.m. And that'll be held at Meadows Park Community Center on South El Paso. And finally, we have an EMDR presentation. That's eye movement desensitization. And that is very interesting. It does have a lot to do with alleviating depression and anxiety, especially PTSD. And that will be held Thursday, March 14th from 4:15 to 5:15 at Sand Creek Library on South Academy. So I'm hoping, and of course they're all free, I'm hoping that there'll be those of you who have the time and the interest will attend these and find out more about Brain Awareness Week as well as what we do in the larger community.
Awesome. And then you mentioned Dana was leading that effort, the organization Dana?
The Dana Alliance, yes.
The Dana Alliance, okay.
You can actually go to dana.org to find out about the wonderful things that this organization does.
Awesome. And so I think that, you know, talking about working with others to make something happen, you're working with them to help with the Brain Awareness Week. Can you talk a little bit more about some of the other organizations that you guys partner with that help you get the programs done that you're wanting to?
You know, we are involved in a lot of outreach, and we do a lot of collaborative work. Some of you may have been aware of the recent International Addictive Behaviors and Mental Health Symposium that was held. We have been involved with supporting that wonderful symposium, which brings in professionals from across the country. And we do that on a yearly basis. And we also participate in a number of health fairs, a few of them that are coming up. For example, there's Metamorphest, which is March 17th, Serenity Recovery Connection on West Fillmore. That is an actually hands-on activity going on. It will be there and partnering with them. We have the Woodland Park Senior Expo, which is being held April 30th from 9 to 1 p.m. up at Woodland Park Community Church up in Woodland Park. Of course, all of these you can call to find out more information about. We are participating in the second annual Senior Lifestyle Expo on the 24th of April, and that'll be held at the Antlers here in town. We are also going to be present at the Silver Key Senior Summit, which is being held May 16th at the Great Wolf Lodge on Federal Drive here. And I want to mention, this year is our 30th anniversary. We have been here for 30 years, and we're going strong, and it's a wonderful organization, and I think it's worth checking into to see if this is something that will not only help your loved one, family members, friends, but yourself as well.
That's really great. And I think a really good transition into the next question I wanted to ask. You know, we've heard your personal story and why DBSA in Colorado Springs exists in the first place. But I'm wondering if throughout these 30 years, you have a personal story of someone who has come to DBSA Colorado Springs and taken advantages of the services, and some one that you'd be able to share.
I do. One of the programs that we initiated early on was our hospital visitation program, where we go into the three psychiatric hospitals here in town to talk to the patients, inpatients and outpatients, to let them know what's available when they are discharged. Often they have no idea where to go, what to do. And this gives them an opportunity to be able to connect with DBSA as well as other mental health organizations that will be of help. We presently are visiting outpatient units at this time, and of course we're always looking for volunteers, not only in this program but others that we offer as well. A few years back, I was doing a presentation at Peakview up north. And, you know, there's usually anywhere from 10 to 15 patients that I would be in a room where I would be able to talk. And there was a young man who apparently, and several have come to our support groups over the years as a result of hearing these presentations. In this instance, there was a young man who apparently heard about DBSA and started coming to the support groups. I became involved, became trained as a facilitator, was able to be involved and join our board of directors, which, by the way, is made up of folks just like us who are living with mood disorders or a family member. This young man, at some point, wanted to join the board of directors, which he did, and he is serving. And he also was selected to be our first part-time administrator, office administrator, program management. During that time, I spent with him in the office where we, of course, have our operations. He was yearning to meet someone to share his life with, and he would try various dating apps and never seemed to find someone who'd suit. He thought, maybe, you know, I'm never going to find the right one. Well, sure enough, he did. And not only that, but he found a full-time job. He got married, and now they're expecting their first child this year. This is just an example of success stories that I've heard of, experienced, been involved in. I've seen people go back to school, get their degrees, of course, move out of their family's home, their parents' home, and get on their own and be able to live as full a life as possible. We have to remember that these illnesses are chronic. There is no cure, but people are able to get to the point where they can manage. And one of the greatest tools, of course, is self-help support. We really believe that a combination of medication when necessary, therapy, psychotherapy, counselors, and self-help support groups, those three help keep people out of the hospital much more than you realize. And it's really something that folks, I think, can buy into easily, especially when you think that what DBSA has to offer is free.
Thank you for sharing that. I really like that point. And for you, the founder of this organization who has experienced what you've experienced, what does it mean to you to see these outcomes for people who come to DBSA and find these successful outcomes?
It gives me hope that we will finally come to the point that there will no longer be stigma, there will no longer be ignorance associated with these illnesses. Just as the color of our eyes run in families, high blood pressure, other illnesses, we have to come to the realization that these are true disorders that affect not only the person, but the family as well, and working together can make a difference. The pain of depression is real. A lot of family members and people who are not acquainted with this sort of disorder seem to think that it's something that a person brings on him or herself. It isn't. It's real. We moved from St. Francis. Actually, I started out in my car, driving back and forth from Douglas County. mm-hmm. when I had the first support group.
Uh-huh.
And I would stop at what's now Office Depot, was Office Max, to call, to use their courtesy phone at 8:30 when they opened up in the morning
okay.
to check on people who were attending our groups. And one morning I was in there and this head pops out of an office and goes like this. And I'm looking, I said, me? Yes, you. He reamed me out for using the phone.
Oh, no. It's a courtesy phone. What are you supposed to do?
I told him. Anyway, I told my husband and he went in and talked to the manager and that guy was gone in a couple of months.
Good husband.
Yeah. But I, you know, have no shame in this regard because I know what we're doing is important. And I approached Eric's psychiatrist, who was at Pike's St. Francis Health Center, which was on Pike's Peak many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have any space at the time. They were just changing over to Centura Health. So I went to Cedar Springs, and they gave us space in this little house that was run down. I washed floors. I washed toilets. I did everything. But I was given an opportunity to meet with some of the therapists, the staff,
mm-hmm.
and do presentations to let them know to encourage their clients to look into our support groups.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did inpatient visits there, quite a few every week. Anyway, we moved from there to St. Francis, finally opened up, and found a place for us. And I started a lending library, equal to none, all on mood disorders and related topics. They were going to shut down. So okay. we had to find a place. We found this wonderful huge suite on East Bijou. The owner had a place in his heart for what we were doing. Huge, big room that we made into a library. We did presentations there. Wonderful. I could show you the pictures for that matter. It was just tremendous. You can't believe what he charged. We had, I don't know how much space, but we had a separate room attached, actually, to this huge room, an office. And because St. Francis was closing down, I asked, what are you going to do with the furniture? I asked for everything. Brought it over. Even a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Desks. Everything. We had over 500 titles, professional publications, you name it, everything in there. COVID started. The owner sold the big building,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and we had to locate something. We couldn't find anything. I was part of the search team to look into places we could lease. Either they were too expensive, they weren't large enough, there was an accessibility, whatever. So we went to a little office and right downstairs, which is great, it's mm-hmm. fine, and had to have all of our support groups throughout, you know, the city. And when we were on East Bijou, we were able to have our meetings there, quite a few. The big room that was housed our library was large enough where we would have talks and presentations. We even started a mental health fair, and it grew to where we even had the CEO from DBSA come and speak, but it was getting so large that this little organization couldn't do it the following year unless we had collaborative help.
Mm-hmm.
We asked various mental health organizations to help us. No one responded, so we had to drop it, which was a shame. But, you know, we don't give up. 30 years has been wonderful. We're going to continue. The funding we get from foundations that have an interest in what we're doing, we are, actually, I forgot to mention, but we're planning a women's health wellness walk that's going to come up in May. So that is something that, you know, is worth mentioning. We don't have dates set, but we're thinking Monument Valley Park, but we're not sure. We're waiting for confirmation on that. And we hold social activities, not just one feel-good thing that a lot of organizations like, look at us, what we've done for them. We have four or five that we do. We do a picnic. We have a pizza party in October, a holiday party, an anniversary party. And often people will get together after meetings. They'll go have coffee together or something like that. There's even a walk around Prospect Lake that mm-hmm. has been set up for years and people are able to participate. But anything that will, you know, give people an opportunity to add something on to their regimen of, you know, whatever their either medication or therapy, what, but more. But the support groups are really the pivotal part and the most important thing that we really want to project and keep going in Colorado Springs. As a matter of fact, when we were at St. Francis, up on the third floor, and our first visits to hospitals to patients were there because they did have an inpatient unit. And the director of inpatient services told us, you know, you're the best kept secret in town. We want to break through that. We want to be able to let the community know that there's help. There's right. additional help, that you don't have to struggle and do this by yourself. Great friendships are made. I can tell you my closest friends have come from DBSA, and I know I wouldn't be here if it weren't for what we do for one another. I'm one of those who really believe that progress is made in this country because of all the grassroots organizations that have sprung up over the last, I would say, 40, 50 years. It's usually something that occurs in a family or in someone's life that forces them to take a turn at the crossroads for the better, to start something because of the pain or the loss that they've endured. There are those of us who don't think anything of it, who maybe blame this person or that person or themselves, but there are those of us who decide, you know, I can make something of this. And actually, without realizing, they do. And I think I've been blessed. If it weren't for our son, Eric, I don't think I would have the life that I have, all of the things and all of the careers I could have pursued. They're nothing compared to what we're able to do. And it brings joy, it brings completeness to my life. I know that my 83 years are not in vain. And I know that I love what I do. And those of us who are part of DBSA love what they do. The fact that we've grown from one little group that met only twice a month to 11 different groups meeting every single week says something. Mm-hmm. And we do make a difference in the larger community, and it's worth looking into. And I'm so appreciative of my own life and my ability to be involved with DBSA. We have such wonderful volunteers and such a great family that I don't think you'd be disappointed in at least checking it out.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you, Karen. I really appreciate you taking the time today for sharing your personal story with us today and for all the work that you do here at a DBSA Colorado Springs. So thanks for having me over. I really appreciate it.
And I appreciate being here. Thank you.
Absolutely. If you are interested in listening to additional episodes of Beyond the Dais, be sure to look for us on Podbean or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.